Welcome to How Now, the podcast where we talk about how to live in the now. And here's your host, Kim Martin Raymond.
Peace and blessings, love and light, and welcome to this edition of the How Now podcast, where we talk about how to live in the now. I am your host, Kim Martin Raymond. I'm a minister, spiritual life coach, holistic nutritionist, author, and founder of Redefining You, LLC, where I help my clients to realign themselves, mind, body, and spirit. And welcome to the show. If this is your first time joining us on the How Now podcast, welcome in. Make sure that you go to my website, www.hownowpodcast.com. Pick your favorite podcast platform and be sure to like, follow, share, and subscribe. You can also scroll to the bottom of the page and click on the banner for this week's show, and it'll take you to the How Now YouTube channel, where you can like, follow, share, and subscribe there as well. And make sure that you hit the notification bell so that you always know what's happening in the now. And again, that's www.hownowpodcast.com. Well, so let's get into tonight's show, where we are going to be talking about following the leader and the role of being a role model in our place. And we know that we have many people who have gone into the field of being an entrepreneur. We have people who are still working in corporate America or working in different fields or in different occupations. And there's always that person that stands out, has that leadership role, or that person that becomes a role model. You know, and sometimes we have people who are, you know, when we think about the workplace, you tend to think about that negative person that was that bad apple, you know, that person that is at the job. And then when they finally leave, it's almost like ding dong, the witch is dead. All of a sudden they're gone and everything, the whole environment or the whole atmosphere changes. But we know that that's also possible when you have positive role models and positive leaders in the workplace. They can change the dynamic and the environment of the workplace for the better or for the worse. And, you know, we're always looking to eliminate that toxicity that can take place in the workplace. So we want to be able to focus in on what a leadership, you know, what a leader looks like and what that leadership or that role model looks like when we're talking about it within the workplace. And to help me to get through the weeds of all of that is my beautiful guest. And as is customary with the How Now podcast, I'm going to have her to introduce herself at this time. Take it away.
Good night, everyone. It's so good to be here. Thanks for having me. I am Dr. Marcia Thomas. I am a Christian leadership trainer, consultant, and life coach. I am also an author, four times author. I write children textbooks. I have just finished my latest book that is called A Leader Like You. I have been a Christian all of my life. I am a mother. I have two children, lovely children, boy, my son, and girl, my daughter. And I am a leader in my community, in my professional space, and in my family.
Beautiful. I love that. I love that because it transcends. And I think that that's a beautiful point that you make, because it's not just in our workplace, it starts at home. And then it spills out into our workplace and then, you know, out into our community. So there are layers to this, you know. So again, thank you for being here and for talking about this very timely topic, because we're seeing so many things happening within the workplace nowadays. We're seeing people that are doing things that we say are quote unquote quiet quitting. They're just sitting there and collecting a check. But you know, we're always seeking in the workspace, and, you know, especially with regards to customer service, we're wanting to make sure that there are people there who are shining, people there who are setting the example, people who are people of integrity, you know, and sometimes those are hard to come by, but when they are there, they shine. So let's talk a little bit about how you got into being a leadership coach and talking about this. So let's go there first. I always tend to take things back to before the pandemic, then go right into what happened as the pandemic and some pivots that you've had to make since then, because we've seen some changes in the work environment since the pandemic. So were you doing this prior to the pandemic, doing your leadership coaching?
I think I've been a leadership coach all my life, starting from 9. As I said in my book that just came out, leadership was thrust upon me because I have a personality that I find makes me advocate. And I leaned towards advocacy at a very young age because I questioned everything that never seemed right in my Sabbath school class, in my home, in my environment. And my mother felt that to curve me a little and to make me more cooperative or comply to just order, she would just give me a mentor. And I got that mentor and I still advocated. I found that I still was impatient with things that I felt were areas of injustice. And so when I did my PhD, I did a coaching course as part of my leadership embodiment and improvement and development. That's part of a course. And I found that I liked it. And then I did another coaching in 2015, which was a life coach. I was trained from a company in England. And I felt that was the niche for me to label what I have been doing voluntarily all my life. Getting people to change their lives, change their circumstances, and doing it with them. And that is the reason for my mantra as a leadership coach: changing lives, changing outcomes, together we overcome. Because I found that I have had to do that. And persons always come to me because of my practical way of looking at things and then merging it with my Christian experience to make you make decisions that are very difficult for you. And so I found that it was a natural knack. So I certified myself so I could do it in a more structured way. So since 2015, I have been doing it voluntarily. But since 2020, COVID has pivoted me into me making it a paid service.
Yes.
And so that is where I started. And that is where I'm resting. I believe, too, that one of the things that propelled me into full-time coach, especially as a Christian leadership coach, and I want to emphasize that, because as a Christian, remaining relevant and exemplary in your workplace can be overwhelming. Yes. You can sometimes feel so burnt out that you just find yourself going through the motions. And because you have to integrate your faith, and it is such a challenging pivot, a lot of persons give in. So you are likely to feel helpless and hopeless as a result. And you do not make the impact that you must make as a leader. And so I took up coaching in that level because I found that it was a desperate place for me when I needed a support group or I needed persons that could understand where I was coming from, because I am a leader in a professional space that is not solely based on Christian principles. And so I decided that through my wilderness experiences and through my how I navigate the challenges that came upon me as a leader and how I had to rest in my faith, that I should provide that space and that avenue for persons who are leaders at any level in their professional space and who are finding it very hard to make the type of impact they want to make and not question their faith, their standards, to remain personally accountable and make sure that they are still able to serve and meet the needs of those who are around them and empower them to be the best selves.
I love that. I absolutely love that. Because it shows that it's more than just, you know, going in and taking on a position. I love that you say, you know, we'll peel back the layers here a little bit. And I think this is a wonderful way to address this is, you know, it starts with, you know, you as a person, as an individual, you're coming into a space and sometimes I think what happens is we tend to get caught up in, you know, what we see around us. We begin doing things the way that we see others doing things because, you know, you're supposed to come in, you're supposed to assess the environment that you're in. You're supposed to, you know, see how you fit into that environment, but you should be coming first and foremost with your own systems, your own beliefs, your own way of you know, carrying yourself. You're bringing your character, you're bringing your integrity into the workplace. And just as you mentioned, can be challenging, you know, because you come in and people say, oh, you don't have to come in early. You know, everybody comes in at 9, everybody comes in at 9:30, even though they say we're supposed to be here at 8:30, you know. But if you're a person of integrity, you're going to do things that you know are going to be in alignment with your faith and what, and you know, what you're being called to do. If you're called to come in at 8:30, that you're going to come in at 8:30, even if everybody else comes in at 9. So you're already coming in, bringing what you bring to the table and creating that positivity, so that way, even when things are kind of falling around, or, you know, are kind of changing around you, you can still say, okay, I'm still going to continue to be this person of integrity when I'm coming into this space. I also like that you said, yes.
And I'm saying in that context, I call that the defining moments of a positive leader. It's you have some defining moments, and that those moments define you and also define your followers. Because the steps that you take to establish what I call your leadership rhythm is what takes you to a higher and higher level, so that you now form a choir and you become the choir leader. So everybody sings the same tune in harmony, but they sing their own parts.
Yes, yes. And you're coming in, you're creating a presence. You know, when you come in and people are like, okay, wow, she's different. He's different.
Yes.
And what's different about them? And it's the manner in which you carry yourself. So even like I said, as things are changing, you're different. You're making sure that you're doing things in alignment with, you know, with your belief system. Because when you come into the workplace, you're coming in, most of us, when we're going into a position, we're following along with the vision and the mission of that particular organization. And that's kind of what draws us into that position. So when we come into there, you know, we're hoping to walk alongside, you know, the organization that we're with to say that, okay, I believe in the mission. I believe in the vision of what it is that they're doing. It coincides with my beliefs and the things that I'm willing to do. So then you start to put your best foot forward there. But I love that you say that leadership is not just the person who is in that leadership position, but you can be a leader amongst your coworkers. You know, then you can be a leader that you know, has that supervisory position where you have others that are working under you. And it's just a matter of, you know, like you said, those defining moments. What is it that I can do that, you know, makes me stand out, makes others say, hey, you know what, that's something that I think I need to be doing as well. And so let's talk a little bit about, you know, from that perspective. You know, when a person enters into that environment, you know, what are some of the things that, you know, when we talk about challenges and we talk about you coming in as a coach, what are some of the challenges that people are coming to you with regards to that whole, you know, idea of leadership and being a role model?
Well, for personally, I would love to speak about myself first, and then I segue into how my clients come to me and talk to me. One of the greatest things that is very important for any leader that is to be effective, that is a servant leader, that is really to be a positive role model, is that you must be able to lead yourself. You must be very aware of your strengths and your weaknesses. You must be aware of what triggers you. What makes you upset? What are your non-negotiables? And what it is that will take you off track or take you out of tune with yourself? When you're able to manage those triggers in you, understand them, overcome them, then you have a moral right to lead and manage others. And so that is the first thing for me. I believe that persons follow you, persons admire you, persons trust you, and persons respect you. You make an influence, you have an impact when you expect from people what you expect from yourself. When you model the behavior that you want to others to model, then that is the surest way of convincing people that you are authentic. No, modeling does not mean that you are not vulnerable to human tendencies such as anger or making mistakes or having failure. That's not it. That only makes you human because leaders are human. What makes you stand out as a human, authentic leader is that you are very optimistic and resilient, especially when you are going through very difficult and tough times, and people are relying on you to set the tone. And that happened during COVID. That happens when there's a crisis in your school, like death or loss, or in your business, like you lose a very great employee suddenly, maybe to an illness. It affects and has a cascading effect on your staff and on your organization. You have to replace the person. You have to deal with those types of emotions that come up. There is a lot of regret for things that you may not have said. There is also the issue of losing persons in your organization and them taking someone with them, very great workers with them. That loss is also very hard to navigate because it creates gaps in your organization that has rippling effects for those lives they have touched and those persons who depend on them. And so that is an area of loss. Then there is the pain of having persons in your organization that do not perform to their fullest potential, and you are not understanding why. And so some of the things that my clients come to me with is that they question their faith and their relevance when they find that there are issues in their organization where the expectations of others are not met, meaning how they appeared is not how they are operating. What was in the showroom is really not what is in the stock room. And that they have an issue dealing with that because they are finding that those who come and just present themselves in the showroom are very upset when they are required to have it in their stock room. And so there is a lot of ill will, and some leaders, no matter how right they want to be, they find that they are not able to get that type of partnership because leadership is a partnership and it depends on the other person. One hand can't really clap, it can only slap. The next issue that I find with leaders is that they are very lonely. A lot of leaders come in trying to navigate the loneliness that they feel in their position of accountability, of getting others to be accountable, getting persons to meet deadlines, and so on. Many persons, in an effort of striking that balance in getting you to do what you're to do and also be compassionate or exercise some amount of empathy, finds that sometimes you have to strike the balance in and make a tough decision to graph that, because sometimes persons take this type of empathy and they take this type of understanding for granted, and instead of getting better, they get worse. Another issue that persons come to me with as leaders who are trying to be effective and authentic is that they do not feel appreciated when they are not able to meet their deadlines because their team members are lagging behind. Many times they find that they have to miss their doctor's appointment, they have to miss quality functions and celebrations with their family, and they are not getting enough sleep, just trying to maneuver and get these persons to do what they're required to do so they can look well. There is another issue too that I found very lately with two clients that came to me, and they are finding that they have some misunderstandings of leadership that they inherited. Those persons who were their role models gave them the idea that because you're a leader, you delegate. And so the bulk of the responsibility is not yours. You are just to section it out. I had to teach them what it means to delegate, because if you give somebody basket, with the intent that they are to take water, then there will be no water in that basket. You cannot give shoes to people who have no feet. And so delegating is often misunderstood also, because we feel that we just shelved off responsibilities to people. But that is incorrect delegating. When you delegate trusted responsibility to people, you are to ensure that it's the right match, because square pegs can never fit into round holes. And persons, many times, it's not because they don't want to do what they're asked to do. It's because they can't do what they're asked to do, because they don't know how to do it because of misdelegation. And then there are some persons who are delegating too much. You'll find people in your organization who are very capable and can do multiple things, and you keep piling and piling and piling the work. Very soon, they become disengaged because of persistent disgruntlement that has been overlooked. And these persons often become disillusioned also. So I find that it's a wide mixture, and I have to be bringing people right back to pivot that your personality traits and your leadership style can conflict in such a way that your best leaders can become your worst leaders because of your mismanagement in relation to how your style is interpreted and delivered and how it is received.
Yes. I mean, and that's huge. That's huge. It sounds like, you know, all of those things deal with how we communicate, deals with the relationships that we have with people. And I love that that first relationship is, of course, with ourselves, you know, and our ability to self-regulate, our ability to be able to know what our triggers are, our ability to know what our strengths are and what our weaknesses are, and to address those things as they come up as well. Because, you know, we cannot lead if we're in a place of brokenness, or a place where we're not able to carry out or understand our own responsibilities. So I love that you say that too, because sometimes it's a misunderstanding of what leadership is, or what we've been taught leadership is. So, you know, being able to say, okay, what is leadership? What is the responsibility, or what is the expectation, you know? And then talking about, yeah, how do we reach that expectation? That's something that's powerful, because just like you said, you can't give shoes to a person who has no feet. I love that. Yeah. I love that because yes, how can, if I don't have the tools that I need to be successful, how am I going to be successful? How am I going to meet that expectation? You know, and a lot of the stressors come because we've been given a task and we don't understand what the expectation is, what the time frame is. You know, and so if we don't know where we're going, we're just constantly, you know, navigating in this space, going around in circles and not knowing how to even delegate. So yeah, there has to be that understanding. And more importantly, like you said, feeling valued, having a sense of having empathy. And that's something that is so lacking. We discount how people feel and what people are experiencing, yes, or what has happened to them. And when we discount them and we say, you know, you hear things like, oh, you know, you're just being so extra, you're doing the most. That is that person's reality. And so if we don't have empathy to understand why people are experiencing what they're experiencing, then we're going, you know, there's going to be that breakdown. So communication, like you said, is definitely something that is key, and it is important for people to feel valued. And I think people are feeling so undervalued in the workplace nowadays. And so that tends to be, you know, people are coming in, they're feeling disgruntled, they're feeling overwhelmed. Like you said, as changes are coming and people are leaving out, it's putting the responsibility, it's on others. And it wasn't something that was an expectation in the beginning, and now it is, and there hasn't been communication. And then it just becomes a snowball effect. So, you know,
another thing that we are finding in organizations is that training is being used as a platform to deliver PowerPoint presentations. So their training itself must give persons an opportunity to practice the new skill that they are learning. So when you upskill people, in your mind, they cannot master the skill if they do not get an opportunity to practice what they have learned. And I find that a lot of training itself is also misunderstood. A webinar presentation or a PowerPoint presentation for an hour, it's not training. And a lot of persons tend to do that and expect that persons who are visual learners or persons who are auditory learners or persons who are tactile or those types of skills are all given one medication or given one format that they think must be used. And so there is not enough room for persons to really be trained, because training cannot be done. Procedural knowledge cannot be taught as theory or direct instruction. Let me put it that way. Persons have to be immersed or assimilated in the experience. Another thing that I find also, in my experience, and that I have learned heavily and I have pushed across in my book, is that we misunderstand motivation. Motivation is not just giving rewards and recognition. A person who wants authority in your industry, no matter how much reward you give to him and no matter how much recognition he gets publicly, he or she will not be satisfied unless the person gets authority, because authority is his or her motivation language. The person who gets authority, who really wants recognition or a token of appreciation, will always be disgruntled, because authority is not the motivation language. So we need to also understand the motivational language of the persons in our industry so that we can be more impactful as positive leaders and not become instigators of the burdens that are usually incumbent in workplaces because of these types of miscommunication, misunderstanding delegation, misunderstanding motivation, misunderstanding the pain, misunderstanding persons and not being empathic or compassionate when they really have issues dealing with. Some of the times the training, misunderstanding training, all of those things I could talk about, because these are important things in the context of a workplace. And for a Christian leader, who are the persons that I really target, it has to be that you have to change a paradigm. Your impact has to be on a much different level. Your understanding of these things are not only temporal in themselves, they are not only secular, but you come with a greater illumination because you understand that you must love people the way you love yourself. And then again, the Bible says you are to esteem others higher than you esteem yourself. And also, you must always put yourself in the place where you treat people the way you would want to be treated if the position was reversed.
Yes, I absolutely love that. That makes perfect sense. The one thing that I think is key is that, you know, when we're talking about those relationships, when we're talking about being able to motivate others, when we're talking about training and things of that nature, it's all about being able to make those proper assessments, you know, because when we accept, when we make assessments, we acknowledge what it is that person is needing, you know, and most of the time what happens is you have trainings that go on and it becomes just, you know, I sat through this 3-hour training just so I can get the certificate to say that I sat through this training. But did you get takeaways? Yeah. Were there takeaways? Were there things that you, were there tangible things that you could take with you that you can implement in your position at that very moment? You know, and I know that as a training manager myself, you know, it's all about the assessment. Am I meeting the need of that person? Or is what we're doing just, you know, creating check marks to just say that we've checked off, you know, things on the list. Yes, we did this. Okay. Yes, we did a task, or yes, we did something. But did we take time to double back and say, okay, what did we learn from this? There was an assignment that we had. We met the assignment. Let's get together and have a little after party and talk about what happened at the end of this. Did I meet the need? What were some missteps? What were some things that we could have done better so that when we do this the next time, we can streamline the process? And are we allowing people to come in and be a part of that conversation? Are we allowing them to have a part in that so that they can say, you know, I was a part of this, you know, of getting this job done, and I was a part of what we can do to make things better and to advance things as we move on, especially if it's something that's going to come up continuously. So it is. I think that, like you say, it's important that we make those assessments, and sometimes we don't, and sometimes we don't have those conversations. And it goes back again to relationships. How are we, you know, asking people, you know, how did this work for you? What was something that was challenging for you? And giving people an opportunity to have a voice so that they feel valued, that they feel a part of the process, that they feel a part of the organization and not just, a means to an end. That makes sense.
And assessments. And so I agree with you totally, because assessment must be used to make people feel supported and not criticized. We don't want persons to feel as if they're being attacked. They must feel as if they are now being supported. And so assessment is also misunderstood, in my opinion, because how we have been trained to do assessment is to pinpoint the weaknesses. But many times assessments are done, but there are no opportunities and there are no systems in place to assist those who need the help. And those who are supposed to give that type of assistance either receive no assistance for themselves. And more often than not, are persons who are not even part of the training of this assessment. Because when you place persons in positions, especially when you misunderstand succession planning, when you place people in positions without an apprenticeship, for example, they have to go in there swimming. Yeah. And nobody learns to swim on land. There is nobody in this world that I know have learned to swim on land. And so succession planning and apprenticeship must be a part of any organization and must be seen as something very sacred and very, very important. Because many times when persons leave our organization, especially during COVID, or gaps were created because persons succumbed to the virus, died suddenly and in greater numbers than we expect, then we found that there were very limited time and limited persons to fit those positions because we did not put in place succession planning. We actually wanted to do it after the deed was done, and that cannot help. And so one of the things I would suggest also to be a positive and effective leader is that succession planning must become a very important staple in your organization. And you are not to handpick people for succession planning. You are to give people an opportunity to test themselves to see what they can produce. And when they have produced enough consistently, voluntarily, and naturally and authentically, then you can select from that group of persons the cream of the crop and begin to train them for leadership in the different areas and trust them with responsibility.
Love that. Again, so I'm looking at the things that we're talking about, systematically when we're talking about those effective leaders, when we're talking about those effective role models, being able to lead yourself. Like you said, to be able to understand what your triggers are, to be able to understand what it is that is necessary for you to be able to be successful as a leader. You know, what are some of the things that come to your attention, things that may be a weakness, things that may be a strength. It's almost like doing a SWOT analysis, being able to see, you know, where you are and where you need to, you know, where you may need help. And that's a beautiful thing, to be able to be open-minded, to receive the help that you need, and to be able to say, I need help. This is where I'm weak in this area. This is where I'm struggling. And to be able to seek the help, whether it be through a coach, whether it be through a mentor, being able to acknowledge the fact that you need help. That's huge. And then, like you said, succession planning. What is the plan moving forward? What are some of the things that need to be in place, or who are the people that need to be in place should something happen? You know, for me, a big thing is always about not being proactive and not reactive.
Yes.
It's all about how we respond and not how we react. Mm-hmm. And I think that is a wonderful, wonderful trait of a person that is a leader or a person that is, a role model. It is somebody who, when something happens, they respond and not react. Because we're looking, you know, we're to those who are in leadership, those who, like you said, we look up to, we're looking to see how they respond in different, you know, in different situations. And that's what develops that level of respect that we have for them. That person was able to handle it in a way that we found appealing, and they, you know, they didn't jump off or they didn't, you know, explode. They responded instead of reacted. That means they took time to think about and to observe what was going on and took the best course of action from there. So I think that's a lovely thing to do when we're talking about succession planning and when we're talking about, you know, understanding ourselves, being able to look inside. And that's a spiritual thing too, because that's a, you know, it's not just, you know, we talk about mind, body, spirit. We hear that all the time.
Absolutely.
And that's what we're doing. What are we doing? Those things are always going to be at work in all aspects of our life, you know, and that's something that we should be able to, it's not something that we turn off when we get into the workplace. It's something that we should carry into the workplace that way is something, because it's a part of who we are. We don't, you know, it's not like we have a switch inside us where we're just turning things off and on. And some of us will do that. Some people will, you know, we'll put on the show when we're at work, and then we're a different person when we're at home, and we're different. It's so much easier just to be who you are consistently. Said that way, you know, you're not having to put on these different masks, because what happens is when situations arise and the mask falls off, then we get to see who you really are.
Yeah.
We've seen a lot of that, especially during COVID. A lot of people had to sit with themselves and they were like, oh, I don't like what I see, or this is not really what I wanted to do, you know, and we have to be able to be, and, you know, and an effective leader knows when it's time to step aside and let someone else take the reins. You know, if this is not something that we're seeking to do, why are we not stepping aside and giving it to somebody? Or why are we not empowering someone else to take on that role? You know, because just like you said, anything can happen. We are still in a time of COVID. And if anything happens to that person's not here, is that company going to be able to run whether you're there or not? And that's a sign of an effective leader too, that could, that where the company can still stand even when you're not there. Yeah.
Very much so. Because true leadership produces other leaders and produce disciples, because you have evangelists who tell the story in their lives if you're a good leader. Because good leaders empower people and inspire people to become good leaders themselves. Because what is good in you, they affirm. And because you are a consistent role model and you're personally accountable, and you're so true to yourself that you can't be false to anyone, then those persons understand. And that is why some people can say, I don't like his or her personality. That's my leader. But I am loyal because he's somebody that you can trust. My personality clash with him has nothing to do with his delivery. His delivery, he's a man of his word. If he says it will be done, it will be done. And so on. I am just not one of those persons who is an energy body. I am an introvert. He's an extrovert. And so his charisma appears to be overbearing sometimes. But these are his virtues. And overall, he's really a good leader. There are persons who have to say that about good and effective leaders, because separate and apart from their personality difference, which has to be there also, then that man is delivering and is very authentic and is making himself very vulnerable, but also very valuable. And is also making it clear to persons that you can be yourself. And that is the new inclusive, being yourself in a very respectful and responsible way, being able to manage your emotions and helping persons to manage their emotions. Is good having those hard conversations and lovingly confronting persons so that you can bring out the best in them is also a new normal. And many of those things occurred, and we had to pivot after COVID in many of those ways. So some of the ways that we really pivoted is that we now saw empowerment as being something very different. Empowerment was rarely placed on a leader before COVID, but empowerment took on a different meaning after COVID, where persons realized that they could empower themselves because they were isolated because of what we call curfew and all of those things. And they were no longer having to depend on person in a hybrid way. And so they now realize that I only have myself. So they become more they became more reliable and very much more self-aware of what they are capable to offer and what they could produce. So resilience took on a different meaning also, because persons realized that I can survive and I will survive and I have actually survived. And so that type of pivoting took on a different type of empowerment and gave trust a different meaning, because persons were now having to realize that I have to trust myself. I have no one else. I am my greatest asset. And any decision I now have to make really is dependent on me. And then leaders had to find themselves being able to motivate their team from a remote distance and not upfront, and also having to find creative ways to ensure that they were productive where they are, and also finding ways of having them being so responsible that they developed a mindset that make them differentiate the workplace from the workspace. And so the mind is what makes the space that you're now using a workplace. And it took some time for the leader to make that adjustment and for the employer to make that adjustment. But when that merging and mutual understanding took place, persons developed a preference of wanting to work part-time. And so we developed what we call a flexible work hour. Emphasis was also changed. We pivoted where we made sure that mental, psychosocial, and emotional health now became the buzzwords of the moment. Yes. When once upon a time, persons' self-care was not so evident, in COVID, self-care became the primary reason why people were living, because they not only had to take care of their physical environment, but they had to take care of the mental environment and make sure that their mental health was always healthy. Their emotional space was very dependent on how their mental state was. And a lot of them had to rest in a higher power, that so their spiritual state had to be enhanced to match the circumstances and the context in which they now had to survive what we call the new normal. And then the digital transformation was another pivot that I had to make as a leader, and everybody in every industry has to make. You had to now market your wares, your strengths and your weaknesses online. You now had to also command your employees. You had to make the adjustment and be flexible enough to know that persons were going at different pace. And those who were never besties to competition and collaboration found that they had to put them in their proper place and also had to coexist. And so those are some of the pivots that industries have made and will never go back to where they are. They will always still consider and have to consider the mental health of people, the emotional and psychological health. They have to make compassion and empathy now a very important feature in every industry, because soft skills are taking the space right now of hard skills, because that is where life has gone, because persons now see the benefits that they can get from these soft skills. And leaders are seeing that persons are making choices between leaders with hard skills and those who emphasize the soft skills. And productivity overall increases when the soft skills are the major skills that are used, because persuasion is always better than force. Another thing that I'm finding has to take place in the workplace now that we cannot go back to is that we have to constantly upgrade ourselves, upskill ourselves, because this complex nature that is always changing and the uncertainty that exists in the workplace and the emergence and permanent residence that AI is taking in our industries, in our lives, at every area, now force us to understand that what we knew a year ago will not take us into next year. And so we constantly have to keep abreast of the changing trends and be very mindful of how we can now transfer some of the skills that we have that we really need and reframe them to fit the new context and still be productive and still create that balance and still create an impact and have influence.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it is. It is all about, you know, like you said, being able to have those transferable skills, those soft skills. And it's also important, like you said, with technology and people not necessarily being face to face anymore. It all goes back to your personal growth and development and how you present yourself, because it's going to translate when people are not physically in the room with you. It should be that translates even when you're speaking to somebody via Zoom, via a phone call, via anything. A person that has strong leadership skills, a person that is a person of influence, and a person that is seen as a role model, is able to transcend through those different avenues and still come out and as somebody who has an impact. And again, that starts from within. That starts from within. And so everything comes back to us and our ability to, you know, be open-minded, our ability to be open to the things that are going on. Like you said, to changing our mindset to things not being so finite, but that things are, you know, like you said, not so hardcore, not those hard skills, but those soft skills, those transferable skills, because we are in an ever-changing environment when we're talking about our workplace. I like that you said workspace as opposed to workplace, because sometimes it's not defined by those four walls anymore, you know, and we're able to take things internationally. So how are we able to do that, you know, as individuals and as, you know, leaders in our workspace? We're able to transcend, or we're able to do things in all of those different areas, and we're still projecting who we are and as individuals in each one of those spaces. And then, like you said, that's where the trust, the respect, you know, the ability for us to move forward comes from. So, I mean, these are powerful, powerful tools that you have shared with us. Okay, so what I want to do is, I know as time is creeping by, and we know that, like, we can talk for hours and hours and hours.
Very much so.
The beautiful thing is you're always welcome, so that's okay. But what I do want to do is, I know you spoke about your book, and it's called A Leader Like You. And you said that's your latest publication.
Yes.
Tell people how they can find, you know, find out more about your coaching and how they can find out or where they can find a copy of your latest book.
All right. So my latest book is on Amazon, and it is in several formats. There's the hardcover, there's the paperback, there is a Kindle version, and there is going to be an Audible version in another 3 weeks. So we are working on that version right now. So we go and grab it. It's they must read for the year. It talks about and translates actionable strategies that we can use. It is an integrated approach, leadership coaching, and also practical approaches. It gives anecdotes that are very real from my experience as a leader at different levels of the organization. It tells those stories and how we overcome. It also looks at the personality traits and type, how you identify your assignment and your purpose, the different levels of assignment, and how you navigate your wilderness experience that every leader gets. It has biblical anecdotes because I am a Christian, and also because I am a Christian leadership coach and consultant and trainer. And it also looks at how your personality traits differ from your personality styles and how understanding those can improve your impact and influence as a Christian leader in your professional space. It also contains training manuals, commandments for leaders aspiring and beginning. And there are also some steps that you can take to create your doing. I am in the process of completing a leader's devotional for leaders in that space also, which is really also highlighted in that book. And so we want to have persons go out and get your copy. It's really something that will put you into the type of leader, the greatest heights that you want to be. It helps you to navigate your space and maintain your impact while integrating your faith. I also have on the market some adventures in language arts books that I wrote for children also, and I tell the stories of those children and turn it into a workbook of comprehension of reading of phonics and so on. Those were my first publication. And I also have a publication out there that deals with the describes disadvantaged rural schools and how these small schools, the MISA model for how you can improve student achievement in these schools. And so those are some of my works that I have out there. I have a Motivate Me To series, but this latest book was really a demand that came out of this coaching where Christian leaders, top executives did not have a space where they can actually find solace and deal with the pain points that are not usually written in leadership manuals or books. And so we look at those types of misunderstanding, motivation, pain, all of those things are in this book. It's a very composite book. It's very good reading. It's excellent tips and actionable strategies that can be used if you want to take your leadership to a higher level and harness your superpower as a Christian leader in a professional space.
Awesome, awesome. Look, I'm going to get my copy. I already have my little... I'm Prime, so I'm going to get my book. I'm not patient.
It's very affordable, too.
So I will definitely make sure I go and I grab my copy, and hopefully everyone else will as well. Do you have a website that people can reach
you
at?
Yes, drtpmotivate2.com. And I'm also going to have one by Wednesday out for my book. And there is where I want to focus on doing the leadership training, because I'm going to move some of the things there that are specific to leadership development, my motivational speaking, where I can be booked, and for my training as a consultant, where I can be booked. So I'm moving all of my leadership over to my space website, my book website, and I'm keeping the coaching at the other side of it. And so for now, it's drtpmotivateme2.com. Or I can be contacted at drtpmotivateme2@gmail.com. And so the website is drtpmotivate2.com. I don't want anybody to miss that. And then the email address is drtpmotivateme2@gmail.com. And drtpmotivate2 is also on Instagram. And I can also be found on Facebook, Dr. Marcia Thomas. And so those are the places. I am also on LinkedIn. And I'm a prominent feature on LinkedIn, a very prolific content writer, content creator on LinkedIn. I give Christian tips every day. And they can also subscribe to my newsletter, which is called Christian Essentials.
Okay, well, what we'll do is make sure that we get all of those wonderful links, and they will be placed in the description when the show airs. And so people will be able to get in contact with you and to, find out what you're doing in this now. So one more question that I have for you, as I ask all of my guests, is how are you living in this now? How are you living in this space? How are you creating your peaceful existence?
Ah, and that is so good to hear. I am spending quality time with family, because family is always with you. You can't take back your family to the shop. And when I was as a leader immersed in all the many things that I did, I found that I did not spend enough time, quality time with my family. And so that is how I'm finding my peace. Just reconnecting with my children and with my granddaughter, which is the only one I have had. And just taking time to love myself, to know myself, to accept myself. And I'm spending a lot of quality time with my maker, who is God. I ask him questions that I never had time to ask before. And I have just prioritized my relationship with God, my relationship with my family, and my relationship with myself. Peace starts from within. And for you to get that peace that passes all understanding, you have to be sure whose you are, who you are, and who's got your back. And if God has got your back, then there is nothing that you need to fear, unless you forget how he has led you in the past and what he's doing for you now. Higher than the human thought can reach is God's ideal for his children. If you rest in that fact that he wishes above all that you should prosper and be in good health, then you know that there is someone that loves you more than you love yourself. What greater peace can you get from knowing that?
All right, look. I usually ask how you go, are there any parting words you want to leave them? And that was it right there. We don't have to go
I
any
want
further.
to leave, my
Yes.
parting word would have to be that to your own self be true, thou canst not then be false to any man. The greatest want in this world is the want of men who cannot be bought or sold. Men who are true to duty as a needle to the pole. Men who in their innermost soul are true to themselves and true to others. That's the greatest want of men. To be relevant and to be exemplary, you have to be yourself. Yourself is the greatest asset that you have. If you treat yourself right, you will always have yourself.
Right, to thine own self be true. Thank you so much for
Thou
being
canst
here
not be
with
false
me.
to anyone.
That's right. Thank you so much for being here with us, Dr. Marcia. You are now officially part of the How Now family. You're always welcome back because what's happening right now may not be what's happening 2 hours, 2 minutes, 2 years, 2 weeks, 2 months from now. So you're always welcome to come back and let us know what you are doing in this now. You are welcome, welcome, welcome. And thank you so much for taking time out to talk with us. And we wish you the best in all that you do moving forward. Okay.
Thank you
Again,
so much for
pleasure.
having me. It was my
Absolutely.
absolute pleasure.
All right, thank you. That will do it for this edition of the How Now podcast, where we talk about how to live in the now. And until we see you the next time, I'll say peace.
A leader like you, harnessing your leadership superpower as a Christian career professional. Through personal anecdotes and real-life experiences, our protagonist, driven by a deep motivation to inspire others, shares invaluable lessons that transcend faith and professionalism. Drawing from their vulnerabilities and struggles, they reveal a unique perspective on Christian leadership. You'll find solace and empowerment as you immerse yourself in these pages. You'll learn how to harness your vulnerabilities, converting them into powerful catalysts for growth. You will discover practical strategies to navigate the intricacies of leading within a professional space, finding your voice, and embracing the value you bring. This book creates a safe and engaging space where you can explore your leadership journey. Prepare to be inspired, encouraged, and equipped with the tools needed to overcome the obstacles that may arise. Together, we'll uncover the resilience and strength that lie within you. A brand new book by Dr. Marcia Thomas, The Publishing Genie, available at Amazon.